Letting go sounds simple, until you have to do it. A relationship, an identity, a version of the past you keep replaying, hoping it could be different. We cling, not because it makes sense, but because it's familiar. Because we believe that if we hold on just a little longer, maybe we won't have to face the silence, the emptiness, the loss. But the Stoics teach us something different, that holding on is often resistance in disguise, and that true peace begins the moment we stop forcing what no longer fits. There's a quiet strength in releasing. It doesn't mean you didn't care. It doesn't mean you failed. It means you've stopped confusing attachment with love, control with clarity, and suffering with loyalty. You don't grow by collecting more. You grow by learning what to shed. Just as a tree must lose its leaves to survive winter, we must learn the art of subtraction, to prune what no longer serves, to surrender, not in defeat, but in wisdom. In this episode, we're not talking about forgetting, we're talking about freedom, the kind that begins inside you, the kind that comes when you accept that what has ended, and that your future isn't built on what you hold on to, but on what you release. Let's talk about the art of letting go and why it may be the most courageous thing you'll ever master. Release what no longer serves. There is a strange comfort in holding on, even to things that hurt us, even to ideas that no longer reflect who we are. We stay in situations long after they've expired, not because they bring joy, but because they feel familiar. The mind, left unchecked, becomes attached to its routines, even the painful ones. It tells us that letting go means failure, or betrayal, or weakness. But in reality, holding on too long is often the real betrayal, a betrayal of who we are now and who we are trying to become. The Stoics understood that life is in constant motion. Nothing stays, people evolve, roles shift, chapters close. And the wise man, they taught, is not the one who tries to stop this movement, but the one who aligns with it. To release what no longer serves you is not to discard it with contempt, but to honor what it was and to accept what it is. The things that once helped us grow can, in another season, become the very things that hold us back. There is no shame in that. There is only responsibility to recognize the change and respond with courage. Look around your life. What are you carrying that has turned into weight? What thoughts do you revisit every day? Not because they inspire you, but because they feed your fear or your ego. What relationships are you maintaining? Not out of love, but out of guilt, nostalgia, or fear of solitude. What identities are you clinging to, even though they feel like costumes you've outgrown? The answers are often uncomfortable, but discomfort is a sign that something real is being touched. We often tell ourselves we need closure before we let go, but closure rarely comes in the way we hope. Sometimes it's not a conversation. Sometimes it's a quiet decision you make alone, to stop watering what no longer grows, to stop explaining yourself to people who never tried to understand you, to stop living in narratives that shrink your worth. The Stoic doesn't chase closure. He creates peace within himself by accepting what is, fully and without resistance. And letting go is not an instant act. It's a slow unwinding, a process of detaching from the fantasy you built around something and facing it as it really is. It means choosing clarity over comfort, reality over illusion, and growth over repetition. There is grief in it, yes, but there is also immense liberation. When you let go of what no longer serves you, you begin to recover pieces of yourself you forgot were missing. Energy returns, focus sharpens, and space is made for what truly aligns. The mind will tempt you to hold on. It will whisper, "What if things change?" What if you regret it? But these are questions rooted in fear, not wisdom. A deeper question, the Stoic question, is, does this serve the life I am trying to build? If the answer is no, then you are not abandoning something. You are choosing something better. And that distinction is everything. So start simply. Don't aim to release everything at once. Choose one thing, one belief, one expectation, one unresolved tension, and hold it up to the light of truth. Then ask, is this helping me grow? Is this keeping me grounded or keeping me stuck? Let that be your compass. You don't need anger to release. You need clarity. You don't need permission to evolve. You need courage. Because when you release what no longer serves, you are not losing. You are making room for peace, for power, for presence, for the kind of life that doesn't just look better from the outside, but feels right on the inside. Let go, not because you have to, but because you're finally ready to. Holding on is often resistance. At first, it feels noble to fight for something, to stay committed, to believe that your persistence will somehow change the outcome. But beneath that effort, there's often a subtle resistance, not to others, but to the truth. We convince ourselves that we're being loyal, patient, resilient. But sometimes, we're just avoiding the silence that comes when we finally let go. And in that silence, the mind fears it will hear what it has long been trying to ignore. That something is over, that a chapter has ended, and that clinging to it is not strength, it's fear. Resistance doesn't always look aggressive. It's quiet, passive. It's in the way you delay difficult decisions, keep checking your phone for a message that won't come, replay the same memory as if it might change. It's in the excuses you tell yourself, I just need more time. Maybe they'll understand eventually. Or the most dangerous of all, this is just who I am. But a Stoic sees through these illusions. They know that when we hold on without question, we're often just resisting the discomfort of growth. There's a difference between staying committed to what matters and refusing to evolve past what doesn't. And the line between them is drawn by awareness. When you resist change, you're not preserving value. You're avoiding uncertainty. And that uncertainty, uncomfortable as it is the beginning of transformation. Every time we avoid it, we extend the life of something that was meant to end. A dead habit, a one-sided relationship, an outdated identity, and all of that, over time, becomes heavy. Seneca once said, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it. One of the biggest ways we waste time is by resisting what is." Think about how much energy goes into holding on, into trying to make things work when they don't, into explaining yourself when you shouldn't have to, into staying somewhere mentally, emotionally, or physically, just because you're afraid of what comes next. Resistance drains us. And what's left is not clarity, but confusion. Letting go is not the enemy. It's what comes after you stop resisting the truth. And truth, for the Stoic, is not an opinion. It's a felt sense in the body, a calm knowing that arises when you stop fighting what already is. Ask yourself, what have I been pushing against? What reality have I refused to accept? If you sit with those questions long enough, you'll hear the answer, not from your mind, but from your deeper self. There's something freeing about admitting that you've been resisting, that you've stayed too long, that you've bent yourself to fit into a space that no longer holds you. And that freedom isn't always loud. It doesn't always come with a dramatic goodbye. Sometimes it's just the decision to stop trying so hard, to stop justifying, to stop rehearsing old pain. And in that stillness, you'll feel it. Not a collapse, but a release. Because resistance is tension, and tension held too long becomes suffering, but release. That's the gateway to peace. It's the doorway to a life where you no longer need to pretend that what hurts you is helping you. A life where your energy isn't used to keep things alive that are already done, but to nurture what's just beginning. So if you feel stuck, ask yourself this: am I truly holding on out of love? Or am I just afraid to let go? If it's fear, then the most loving thing you can do, for yourself and for everyone involved, is to stop resisting and start releasing. Peace requires pruning. Most people think peace comes from adding more control, more comfort, more answers, but the Stoic sees it differently. Peace doesn't come from accumulation, it comes from elimination. It's not what you hold on to that calms you, but what you're willing to let go of. And like a tree that must be pruned to grow healthy and strong, your inner life requires the same care. You don't prune a tree because you hate it. You prune it because you love it enough to give it room to thrive. And in the same way, letting go isn't rejection, it's refinement. Think about your emotional landscape. It's like a garden. Over time, weeds creep in. Resentments, distractions, fears, false obligations. Left unattended, they grow wild and start choking out what matters: presence, clarity, purpose. And the only way to regain control of your inner world is through conscious pruning. That means regularly looking inward and asking, what have I outgrown? What am I maintaining just because it's familiar? What burdens am I carrying out of habit rather than meaning? The Stoic practice is built on this principle. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly to strip away what was unnecessary, to return to simplicity. He knew that clutter, whether physical or mental, dilutes focus. It blurs judgment. And most importantly, it steals peace. You cannot be still if your mind is overcrowded. You cannot hear your intuition if your thoughts are tangled in noise. That's why pruning is not a luxury. It's essential. It's an act of inner discipline. But this kind of peace isn't passive. It's not the kind you stumble into. It's cultivated, deliberately, and it often begins with difficult decisions. To let go of people who no longer align with your growth. To stop saying yes when you mean no. To distance yourself from environments that keep you small. It's easy to pretend everything's fine when you're too busy to feel. But real peace asks you to pause and to face the discomfort of what needs to be cut away. There's courage in this process, because pruning requires faith that what remains will be enough, that what you remove won't define your worth. And most importantly, that by choosing less, you're actually making space for more depth, more focus, more authenticity. In a world obsessed with more, the Stoic walks another path, the path of subtraction. Because he knows that wholeness is not about having everything, it's about carrying only what serves your highest self. Look around your life. What's become noise? What activities, commitments, or connections are no longer rooted in value, but in obligation? What stories are you still telling yourself that stopped being true a long time ago? These are not easy questions, but they are the questions that lead to peace. So prune gently but firmly, with compassion but with clarity. Not everything that once belonged still does, and not everything you lose is a loss. Sometimes it's the space created by letting go that finally lets peace enter and stay. Let go with love, not bitterness. There's a subtle difference between moving on and truly letting go. One is an act of escape, the other an act of maturity. Anyone can walk away from something that hurts. What's difficult is walking away without carrying the poison of resentment with you. The Stoic teaches us to release not just the situation, but the emotion that tries to cling to it. To let go not in anger, but in love. Because how you leave matters. What you carry forward shapes what you become. Bitterness is heavy. It clouds judgment. It hardens the heart. And often it's not directed at others as much as it is turned inward. We resent ourselves for trusting, for giving too much, for staying too long. But the Stoic doesn't waste time drowning in self-blame. He reflects, learns, and releases. Love, in this case, is not approval of what happened. It's compassion for yourself in how you choose to respond. It's choosing to walk away with your dignity intact, your mind clear, and your heart unburdened. Many people believe that in order to move on, they need an apology, or a confession, or justice. But those are external events, and they may never come. Stoicism reminds us that peace is not earned from others. It's claimed within. Letting go with love means recognizing that closure isn't something you wait for. It's something you create by refusing to let pain write the next chapter of your life. This doesn't mean you suppress your emotions. It means you rise above them. You feel what needs to be felt, fully, but you don't become it. You don't become bitterness. You don't become vengeance. You don't let what hurt you turn you into someone you're not. That's the deeper strength. When life gives you every reason to hate, and you choose instead to heal. Not for them, for you. And healing doesn't mean you pretend it didn't matter. It means you know it mattered, and you still choose to move forward with grace. Letting go with love is one of the hardest things you'll ever do, but it's also the most freeing. Because when you release something in anger, it tends to return through thoughts, triggers, shadows. But when you release it in love, it loses its grip. You cut the cord cleanly. Think about this. What would it look like to let go of that person, that past, that pain? Not with rage, but with gratitude. Gratitude that it taught you. Gratitude that it ended. Gratitude that it showed you something about yourself you wouldn't have seen otherwise. This doesn't mean the experience was right. It means you're ready to stop carrying it with clenched fists and start walking forward with open hands. There's strength in saying, I release this. I forgive where I can. I learn what I must. And I move on, not as a victim, but as someone who chooses peace over poison. Because at the end of the day, letting go with love isn't for them. It's for you. So that the next version of your life is built not from wounds, but from wisdom. Detachment isn't coldness, it's wisdom. Too many people confuse detachment with apathy. They think being detached means you don't care, that you've numbed yourself, or that you've shut the world out. But in Stoic practice, detachment is the opposite of indifference. It's the foundation of clarity. It means caring deeply, but without clinging, loving fully, but without ownership, being present, but without control. Detachment isn't coldness, it's wisdom. It's what allows you to stay grounded when life becomes unpredictable. Imagine standing in the middle of a storm. If you try to control the wind, you exhaust yourself. But if you root yourself in place and accept the movement around you, you remain stable. That's detachment. It doesn't ask you to stop feeling. It asks you to stop being ruled by what you feel. A Stoic doesn't seek to avoid emotion. He seeks to master the relationship he has with emotion. And that begins with inner space. Space between the trigger and the response. Between what happens and how you interpret it. When we're attached, we tend to identify with outcomes. We link our happiness to a specific result, a certain person, a particular timeline. But the more we grip, the more we suffer. Because nothing stays fixed. People change. Plans shift. What was once certain becomes unclear. And when your peace depends on things remaining as you wish, you live in constant fear of loss. Detachment is the freedom from that fear. It's the realization that your value doesn't rise or fall with circumstances, that your stability doesn't depend on others behaving how you want. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Receive without pride, let go without attachment." This is not detachment from life, it's engagement with life on its own terms. It's a conscious practice of holding everything gently, your achievements, your relationships, even your identity. Because you understand they're not permanent, and that's okay, detachment allows you to appreciate without possession, to engage without obsession, to love without expectation. Think about your own life. What are you gripping too tightly? Is it the need to be understood, the desire to be chosen, the compulsion to prove your worth? When we grip too hard, we don't just suffocate the present. We push away the very things we're trying to hold. Real connection, real growth, real peace, they all require space. And detachment is what makes that space possible. This doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you care with awareness. You love with boundaries. You give without losing yourself. That's the strength of detachment. It's not about building walls. It's about building roots. So that when the world shakes, you don't fall apart with it. So if something is slipping away, if a chapter is ending, if a dream no longer fits, don't force it to stay. Don't shrink yourself trying to keep what's no longer aligned. Practice detachment, step back, breathe, and remind yourself, peace isn't found in possession, it's found in presence. Surrender to what is evolving. We often fear change not because it's painful, but because it's unfamiliar. What we know, even when it's broken, feels safer than what we don't. So when life begins to shift, when something starts to unravel or fade, our first instinct is usually resistance. We fight to keep it as it was. We tighten our grip. We tell ourselves, maybe I can fix it. Maybe it's just a phase. Maybe if I try harder, it'll go back to how it used to be. But deep down, we already know. That version of life, the one we're trying to preserve, is gone. It's not wrong, it's just evolving. And the only question is, are we willing to evolve with it? The Stoics understood this deeply. They never tried to resist the natural unfolding of life. Epictetus taught that peace comes from aligning our will with what is, not what we wish it to be. Surrender, in this context, is not about giving up. It's about giving way. It's allowing the old forms to fall so the truth underneath can rise. But that's terrifying, because evolution isn't loud. It's quiet. It doesn't announce its arrival. It comes in the form of subtle dissatisfaction. A friendship that starts to feel hollow. A career that no longer excites you. A version of yourself that doesn't quite fit anymore. And we wrestle with that discomfort because we're taught to associate endings with failure. But endings are not failures, they're transitions. They're spaces between stories. And if we learn to stop resisting them, we unlock something most people never do. Freedom. Real, unshakable freedom. The kind that doesn't rely on certainty, approval, or a perfect plan. The kind that says, I don't know what's coming, but I trust myself to meet it. Surrender, then, is not weakness. It's wisdom. It's looking at your life honestly and asking, what's trying to change in me? What chapter is naturally closing? And what would happen if I stopped fighting it? Most people never ask those questions. They numb the signals, they run faster, they add more noise. But a Stoic pauses, a Stoic listens, a Stoic allows the shedding, even when it's painful, because he knows what comes after the shedding is more aligned, more true, more powerful. But let's be clear, surrender isn't passive. It's active acceptance. It's waking up every day and choosing to stop dragging things that no longer want to be held. It's letting go of forcing timelines, of chasing people who've emotionally left, of trying to recreate old versions of yourself that you've outgrown. That version may have gotten you this far, but it's not the one who'll carry you forward. Growth demands you shed, not once, not twice, but over and over, like seasons cycling through your soul. And here's the hard part. The world around you may not understand. They may see your surrender as laziness or confusion, but you'll know the truth because you'll feel lighter. Not because you have less, but because you've stopped carrying what no longer fits. You'll notice your energy begin to return, your clarity sharpen, your breath deepen. That's what happens when you surrender. The fog lifts. And in its place, you find direction. Not because someone gave it to you, but because you finally created enough space to hear it. So if you feel something shifting in your life right now, don't panic. Don't rush to fill the space. Don't numb the uncertainty. Sit with it. Breathe with it. Trust that what's evolving in you is not a mistake. It's a message. One that says, you're not who you were, and that's okay. You're becoming who you were meant to be. Don't fear emptiness. It invites clarity. There's a strange moment that comes after letting go. It's not relief, not yet. It's silence, space, emptiness. And for many, that's the most terrifying part. We've become so used to being full of noise, people, plans, opinions, that silence feels like failure, like something's missing. But the Stoic understands that emptiness is not a void to fear. It's a doorway to clarity. It's the space where truth speaks, where the mind softens and the soul begins to whisper. When we let go of what no longer serves us, we create space. And that space, if left unguarded, can quickly be filled with distractions. We rush to replace what we've lost. We seek comfort in the familiar, even if it's harmful. We scroll, consume, escape, anything to avoid sitting in that raw quiet. But clarity is not found in motion. It's found in stillness. And the discipline to sit in that stillness without reaching for another distraction. That's power. That's inner strength. We often fear emptiness because we've been taught that our value is tied to what we carry, how busy we are, how productive we look, how full our lives appear. But a cluttered life is not a rich life, and a crowded mind is not a wise mind. The Stoic knows that real strength comes from subtraction, not just of things, but of false beliefs, toxic patterns, outdated dreams. And once those are cleared out, what remains is something rare: mental stillness, emotional sobriety, a heart that beats without noise. But don't mistake this for numbness. This emptiness is alive. It's alert. It listens. It observes. And in that observation, we begin to see what truly matters. You might notice how much of your energy was being drained by someone who never valued your presence. How many of your goals were actually borrowed from someone else's expectations? How often you were performing rather than being? All of this becomes visible in the space that follows release. And that visibility is clarity. But clarity doesn't come all at once. It arrives slowly, like a sunrise over fog. First, it's just a feeling, an inner looseness, a breath you didn't know you were holding. Then it becomes thought, a realization that what you feared losing you never really needed. And eventually it becomes action. You start to move differently, choose differently, Not because someone told you to, but because you're no longer reacting, you're responding from alignment, from peace. The Stoic approach to emptiness is not avoidance, it's curiosity. What is this space here to teach me? What can I hear now that I've stopped forcing? What part of me is asking to be seen, not through the lens of others, but through my own eyes, clear and unclouded? And the truth is, this kind of emptiness doesn't last forever. It's a phase, a sacred one, a cocoon before the emergence. But if you rush it, you miss the lesson. If you fear it, you remain trapped. But if you honor it, if you sit in it and let it work on you, you emerge with something few people ever find, a deeper knowing of who you are, of what you value, of how little you actually need to feel whole. So don't rush to fill the silence. Don't be afraid of the pause. Let it stretch. Let it echo. Let it strip away the noise until all that remains is what's real. Because in that emptiness lies the beginning of everything true. That's not loss. It's rebirth. Closure comes from acceptance. We tend to chase closure like it's something the world owes us. A final conversation, a heartfelt apology, an explanation that finally makes everything make sense. We wait, hoping that someone will hand us the resolution we need. But in Stoic philosophy, closure is not something granted. It's something claimed. It's not about what others say or don't say. It's about what you decide to accept. Acceptance is what closes the loop, not the other person. And without it, you're trapped, still orbiting a story that no longer serves you. The truth is, we often confuse closure with justice. We think, I need to hear why they did that. I deserve to know the truth. I can't move on until they admit what they did. But those thoughts keep us stuck in a loop where our peace depends on the willingness of someone else to take responsibility, and often they won't, or can't, or don't even realize the impact they had. That's why the Stoic doesn't wait for others to create closure. He creates it within himself, through understanding and acceptance. Acceptance isn't resignation. It doesn't mean what happened was okay. It means you've stopped resisting what already is. It means you've stopped replaying the event, analyzing every word, wondering if it could have gone differently. You understand now that the past cannot be edited. It can only be learned from. And that wisdom, the ability to hold the memory without letting it control you, is the foundation of true closure. Ask yourself, how many open loops are you still carrying? How many moments, conversations, or relationships are you mentally revisiting, hoping they'll somehow change? Each of those is a drain on your energy, your clarity, your growth. And the reason they're still open isn't because they haven't been resolved. It's because you haven't accepted the reality of how they ended. The Stoic knows that peace doesn't come from rewriting history. It comes from being honest about what happened, and choosing not to let it define what happens next. And here's the paradox. The moment you accept, you stop needing closure from anyone else. You stop seeking explanations. You stop needing to be understood. Because you've shifted your focus from, why did this happen to me, to what can I learn from this? And that shift is liberation. It puts the power back in your hands. It allows you to rewrite your future without dragging the weight of an unresolved past behind you. That doesn't mean you'll never think about it again, but it means that when you do, it won't control you. The emotion will be lighter, the memory less sharp, and your heart less entangled. Acceptance lets you breathe again. It loosens the grip of old wounds and allows healing to happen, not because the wound disappeared, but because you stopped picking at it, demanding it look different. So if you're waiting for closure, stop waiting. Give it to yourself. Through reflection, through honesty, through grace. Tell yourself the truth. It ended. It hurt. I learned. And I'm moving forward. That's the sentence that closes the chapter. Not punctuation from someone else, but the courage of your own conviction. Because closure is not a door someone else shuts for you. It's the one you walk through on your own when you realize you're finally ready to live without needing what once broke you. Letting go is strength, not weakness. Letting go has a reputation problem. People see it as retreat, as giving up, as failure. But if you've ever truly let go of something that was deeply woven into your identity, you know it takes everything you have. Strength isn't clinging to something out of fear. Strength is looking that fear in the face and walking away anyway. The world may call it weakness. The Stoic calls it wisdom, because he understands you cannot move forward while dragging the weight of what's behind you. Think about how often we hold on, not because something is good for us, but because it's familiar, a job that drains us, a relationship that's become hollow, a belief that no longer fits who we've become. We stay because the idea of starting over is terrifying, because letting go means grieving, not just the thing, but the version of ourselves that lived inside it. And grief, even when it's necessary, is uncomfortable. But the Stoic doesn't run from discomfort. He uses it. He knows that true resilience is forged in the fire of release. And release isn't always loud. Sometimes it's a quiet decision you make at 2 a.m., alone with your thoughts, when you finally admit to yourself, "I've outgrown this." And in that moment, even if no one else knows it, a chapter ends. The chains loosen, and you begin to breathe in a way you didn't even realize you'd forgotten. But don't misunderstand. Letting go doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean pretending nothing happened. It means choosing not to let your identity be defined by the past. It means recognizing that your energy is sacred, and anything that drains it without adding meaning doesn't belong in your future. It means no longer begging for closure, approval, or reciprocity from people who never intended to offer it. Seneca once wrote, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it. And how do we waste it? By holding on to things that are already gone in every way but memory. Time spent replaying, explaining, or trying to fix what's unfixable is time stolen from becoming who you were meant to be." The Stoic knows that letting go is not the end of something. It's the beginning of alignment. It's the decision to stop watering what's already wilted and start planting new seeds. And yes, there will be moments of doubt, days when you question if you did the right thing, nights when the silence feels louder than the noise you left behind. But keep going, because strength is not found in having all the answers. It's found in trusting yourself through the unknown. And with every step forward, you prove to yourself that you didn't let go to lose. You let go to grow. So ask yourself honestly, what are you still holding on to that's holding you back? What would change if you loosened your grip, if you trusted that what's ahead could be better than what's behind? That's not weakness. That's courage. That's power. That's a quiet kind of revolution, the kind that doesn't need applause, only your full presence. Letting go isn't about being heartless. It's about being whole. It's about making space for peace, for growth, for the life that's been waiting to unfold the moment you decided to stop settling for less than your soul deserves. Growth often requires goodbye. We all want to grow, but we rarely talk about what growth costs, because it's not just effort. It's not just time or discipline or willpower. Sometimes the cost of growth is goodbye. Goodbye to certain people. Goodbye to old dreams. Goodbye to parts of your identity that once felt essential. That's the truth most people avoid. Growth is not always about gaining more. Sometimes it's about losing with intention. And the Stoic sees this not as loss, but as necessary refinement. When you start to evolve, everything around you is tested. Habits, relationships, beliefs, they're all forced to adjust or fall away. And it's painful because you're not just letting go of others. You're letting go of who you used to be with them. A version of you that was acceptable in that environment, to those people, with those values. But you're not that version anymore. And clinging to it doesn't make you loyal. It makes you stuck. People might say you've changed, as if that's a betrayal. But that accusation only comes from those invested in your old limitations. The people who truly support your growth won't fear your evolution. They'll expand with you, or they'll respectfully step aside. Either way, the path forward becomes clearer, not because you forced it, but because you allowed it. This is where most get paralyzed. They know something in their life no longer aligns, a friendship, a mindset, a routine, but they hesitate to walk away. They think, what if I regret it? What if I'm alone? What if this is as good as it gets? But those are the thoughts of someone anchored to fear, not truth. Because truth whispers something quieter but stronger. You've outgrown this. You've learned what you needed. And now it's time to move. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Look well into thyself. There is a source of strength which will always spring up if thou wilt always look." That strength doesn't come from adding more, it comes from aligning more deeply. And alignment often means releasing what no longer reflects who you are, or more accurately, who you're becoming. You see, every goodbye in the process of growth creates space. Space for better habits, space for deeper peace, space for people who see your evolution not as a threat, but as inspiration. You don't owe your old self eternal loyalty. You owe your future self a shot at authenticity, at wholeness, at life uncluttered by past attachments that no longer serve your journey. And let's be honest, growth can be lonely. For a while it might feel like you're walking through fog, uncertain and exposed. But that space, that silence, is sacred. It's where you meet your deeper self. The self that doesn't compromise for comfort. The self that knows peace is not found in holding on, but in knowing when to release. So if you feel something pulling you forward and something else pulling you back, listen. That tension is not a mistake. It's a signal. The past may be familiar, but the future is free, and you can't have both. Growth often requires goodbye. Not out of bitterness, not out of rejection, but out of reverence for what's next. Say it softly, say it with love, but say it, goodbye. When you look back on your life, it won't be the noise that shaped you. It'll be the quiet choices, the moments when you decided to stop holding on, the times you surrendered not out of weakness, but out of strength, the seasons where you stood still, listened deeply, and chose clarity over chaos. That's what it means to master the art of letting go. It's not about erasing what happened. It's about accepting that it happened, learning from it, and allowing yourself to evolve beyond it. Letting go is a discipline. It's a habit. And like all things in Stoic practice, it begins within. No one else can do it for you. No apology will make the past disappear. No explanation will rewrite the story. But you, here, now, you can choose to release, to stop replaying old dialogues, to stop holding space in your heart for people who left, to stop carrying what was never yours to begin with. You can choose peace. And not the kind that's given to you, but the kind you build moment by moment, decision by decision. Because when you start to let go, truly let go, something shifts inside you. You stop chasing closure. You stop fearing the silence. You stop needing the world to understand your choices. You become rooted, not in who you were, but in who you're becoming, and that version of you. That version is calm, clear, powerful, because they've learned that sometimes the strongest thing you can do is not to fight harder, but to release with grace. So whatever you're holding on to today, ask yourself, is this helping me grow, or is this keeping me stuck? And if the answer is the latter, let that be enough. You don't need drama. You don't need permission. You only need the courage to set it down. Because the most powerful path is rarely the loudest one. It's the one where you walk away, not in anger, not in fear, but in truth. And as you do, you realize you never needed to be whole again. You already were. You just needed to let go of everything that made you forget. Victimhood drains your power. It starts subtly, a complaint here, a justification there, a habit of saying, if they hadn't treated me this way, or if life had been different, I'd be further by now. These thoughts feel reasonable, they sound honest, but underneath, they are robbing you of your power, drop by drop. Because every time you speak from victimhood, you're reinforcing a dangerous idea that your life is controlled by forces outside of you. And once you believe that, you stop trying to change. You stop leading. You start waiting. And waiting is where dreams go to die. The Stoics were clear. No one can steal your mind. No one can take your ability to choose how you respond. You may have been hurt. You may have been wronged, but if you turn that pain into identity, it owns you, and you begin to protect the wound instead of healing it. Victimhood becomes familiar. It gets you sympathy. It gives you a reason not to act, but make no mistake, it also chains you to the past. And chains, no matter how justified, are still chains. Power begins the moment you stop asking, "Why me?" and start asking, "What now?" That shift is everything. That shift is where your life starts to pivot from reactive to intentional, from helpless to responsible, from stagnant to unstoppable. And responsibility, contrary to what many believe, is not a burden. It's freedom. Because once you own your life, no one else gets to dictate your direction. You rise above the noise. You stop playing small. You begin to act from clarity, not emotion. But here's the catch. Victimhood isn't just a mindset. It becomes a habit, a lens, a way of interpreting everything. Someone gives you feedback. You hear an attack. You face a setback. You hear confirmation that life is against you. That lens distorts reality, feeding your pain, shrinking your potential. And like any habit, it grows stronger the more you feed it. That's why Stoic practice begins with awareness. Observe your thoughts. Catch the stories you tell yourself. Interrupt the inner dialogue that starts with, "They should've," or "I never get to." Those aren't reflections. They're excuses. Epictetus said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." That's not just a quote to memorize, that's a mirror to live by. Because if you react as a victim, you surrender your future to the past. But if you respond as a creator, everything changes. You begin to ask, "What is this moment calling from me?" instead of, "Why is this moment happening to me?" This doesn't mean you suppress emotion or ignore injustice. It means you refuse to build your identity around it. You can grieve without becoming the grief. You can learn without becoming the lesson. That is power. That is stoicism. Not cold detachment, but courageous clarity. So look honestly at where you're giving your power away. In complaints, in comparison, in blame. And ask yourself, who would I be without this story? Because when you let go of victimhood, you don't lose yourself. You find the self that was buried underneath it, the self that's been waiting to lead. Rise above the story, reclaim the pen. We don't just live our lives, we narrate them, quietly, constantly, almost unconsciously. Every experience becomes a sentence in the story we carry, and over time that story hardens. It becomes the script we follow, the lens through which we interpret everything. But here's the problem. Most of us are not the authors of that story. We're just reciting it, retelling old chapters written by pain, by parents, by disappointment, by fear. And the longer we carry that unchallenged script, the more we believe that this is just who I am. But what if it's not? What if your story isn't truth? It's just a habit. What if the voice in your head saying, I'm not enough, or they always leave, or I never succeed, isn't some divine insight, but just a memory dressed up as prophecy? That's what Stoicism teaches us to question. The Stoic doesn't trust every thought just because it feels familiar. He doesn't assume every story is sacred. Instead, he observes, he rewrites, he reclaims the pen. See, victimhood isn't just about feeling helpless. It's about being trapped in a narrative where someone else holds the power. In that story, you're at the mercy of your upbringing, your trauma, your circumstances. And worst of all, that story justifies your inaction. You tell yourself, I can't move forward because of what happened back there. You don't say it bitterly. You say it with certainty, like a fact. But it's not a fact. It's a frame. A frame you've outgrown. A frame you're allowed to shatter. We forget that our internal narrative isn't carved in stone. It's written in thought. And thoughts can change. But to change them, you must be willing to pause and look honestly at the script running in the background. Where did it come from? Who taught you that you're hard to love? Who convinced you that you'll always be behind? Who told you that your mistakes are who you are? You didn't choose those beliefs, but if you don't challenge them, you're still choosing them every single day. That's why awareness is power, because you can't rewrite a story you haven't examined. You can't take control of a narrative you're too busy performing. You have to step back, zoom out, and ask, what am I rehearsing in my head every day? Because whatever you rehearse, you become. The brain doesn't distinguish between a story you imagine and a story you live. It treats them the same, which means you have a responsibility to feed your mind a better script. Not a fantasy, not blind positivity, but a truthful, empowering, accountable story, one that reflects your potential, not just your pain. And it starts with small edits, changing I'm always ignored to sometimes I don't speak up, shifting I never get a break to I've been through a lot, but I'm still standing. These subtle changes in language reshape the emotional tone of your life. They teach your nervous system to stop preparing for defeat and start expecting direction. Because the goal isn't to deny what happened, it's to stop making what happened the center of who you are. You are not the child who was abandoned. You are not the employee who was fired. You are not the relationship that ended. You are the person who survived it and who can build beyond it. The Stoic reclaims authorship by owning meaning. He chooses not just what to feel, but how to frame it. And in doing so, he transforms every setback into a setup, every scar into structure, every page into possibility. So here's the truth. You may not have written your first few chapters, but you are responsible for the rest. You can stay in the same tired loop, reciting old pain, until it becomes your personality. Or you can rise above the story, reclaim the pen, and write something bolder, something freer, something truer. What's it going to be? You are not your past. There's a weight many people carry that isn't visible, but it's real. A quiet, constant drag on their energy, their confidence, their sense of possibility. It's the belief that because something painful happened, a mistake, a betrayal, a failure, that it defines who they are. That their identity is forever chained to what went wrong. And the more they replay it, the more it becomes truth in their minds. I am what happened to me. But the Stoics would disagree. They believed in ownership, yes, but not in permanent identification with the past. They believed we are responsible for what we do next, not doomed to what came before. It's easy to confuse accountability with self-condemnation. To believe that owning your mistakes means dragging them with you like a ball and chain. But true growth doesn't come from shame. It comes from clarity. From being able to say, yes, that happened, but that's not all of me. That's not who I am. It's what I've been through. There's a critical difference between having a past and being your past. One empowers you, the other imprisons you. And the truth is, the past doesn't have hands. It doesn't reach into the present to sabotage your future. It only holds power if you give it attention, if you keep feeding it with your energy, your emotions, your identity. Every time you replay what they said, every time you tell the story from the wound instead of the wisdom, every time you let an old chapter dictate your next step, that's how the past lives on, not as memory, but as self-limitation. The Stoic knows better. He knows that what happened cannot be undone, but it can be transcended. Not by denial, but by choosing a new response, by choosing to act today in a way that would make the old version of you proud. And that begins with separating who you are from what you went through. You are not the argument, not the heartbreak, not the addiction, not the failure. You are the one who witnessed it, endured it, learned from it, and now gets to rise beyond it. In Stoic thought, identity is built in the present. It's not a static thing handed to you by your past. It's a dynamic process you shape through choices, through values, through repeated action. That's why Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength." It wasn't just about detachment. It was about reminding himself that who he was depended not on what had happened, but on how he interpreted and responded to it. And that applies to you too. You may carry regret. You may feel shame. You may wish you could go back and rewrite some chapters. But growth doesn't mean erasing the past. It means using it as raw material, compost for the future. It means taking the pain and turning it into principle, taking the loss and turning it into discipline, taking the chaos and turning it into clarity. Because once you separate yourself from the identity you've been clinging to, the "I'm not good enough," the "I always fail," the "I'll never be chosen," you create space, space to build, to create, to become. And that is where your power begins to return, not in pretending nothing happened, but in realizing it no longer has the right to run your life. So take an honest look at what story from your past is still operating like it owns you. Ask yourself, is this memory a teacher or a jailer? Because if it's not helping you grow, it's holding you back. And the Stoic chooses growth. Always. Even when it's hard. Especially when it's hard. You are not your pain. You are not your past. You are the one who can transform it into purpose if you stop letting it speak for you. Choose creator over complainer. There's a fork in the road we face every day, in every situation. Do we create or do we complain? One leads to power, the other leads to paralysis, and far too often we choose the second without even realizing it. We vent, we criticize, we dwell on how unfair things are. And while it might feel like release in the moment, it's actually a form of surrender, a slow erosion of our agency. Because every time you complain, you're telling yourself and the world that you have no power to change. And if you repeat that enough, you start to believe it. But here's the stoic truth. Complaining is the language of the powerless. Creation is the voice of the free. The Stoic doesn't waste energy on blame because he knows it changes nothing. Instead, he asks, what can I build from this? What's mine to improve? Complaining is easy. It costs nothing. Creation demands effort, clarity, courage. That's why it's rare. That's why it's transformative. We complain because we want control without effort, validation without action, progress without discomfort. And when life doesn't hand it to us the easy way, we protest. We point fingers. We assume the world owes us better. But the world doesn't operate on fairness. It operates on cause and effect. And you can spend a lifetime lamenting what isn't, or you can use that time to build what could be. That's your choice. And it's made in the small moments, not the big ones. Think about it. The complainer walks into a difficult situation and narrates powerlessness. Why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. It's always like this. But the creator walks into the same situation and asks, what's the lesson? What can I influence? How do I grow from here? It's not about pretending things are fine when they're not. It's about deciding that your energy is better spent on solutions than on resentment. This is where most people get stuck. They confuse venting with processing, but the more you verbalize your frustrations without action, the more you reinforce them neurologically. Complaining literally strengthens the neural pathways of negativity. Over time, you train your brain to focus on what's wrong, to seek injustice, to expect disappointment, and the worst part, you become addicted to it. You feel alive in the drama, bonded through shared complaints, validated by others who echo your grievances. But it's a hollow kind of aliveness, because it doesn't move you forward. It just keeps you loud and stuck. The Stoic path demands more. It demands responsibility. And responsibility begins where complaint ends. It begins when you say, this may not be my fault, but it is my life. When you stop rehearsing what went wrong and start designing what comes next. Because every time you choose to create, whether it's a plan, a boundary, a change in attitude, you reclaim a piece of your power. You shift from being at the mercy of life to being a participant in it. And this isn't about hustle culture or toxic positivity. It's about authorship, about refusing to let your circumstances dictate your character, about choosing action over accusation, progress over pity, impact over irritation. Seneca wrote, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor." And the same applies to our mindset. It's not the person with challenges who is weak. It's the person who refuses to rise above them. Complaining is a craving for external change. Creating is a commitment to internal power. So the next time you catch yourself about to rant, about to spiral into blame or frustration, pause. Ask yourself, what am I building right now? Because you're always building something, either a wall of resentment or a bridge to a new direction. Choose the path of the creator, the one who accepts what is, imagines what could be, and works quietly, consistently, to close the gap between the two. Pain happened. Now what? There's a moment that arrives for every human being, sometimes quietly, sometimes violently, where we face a truth we cannot avoid. Pain is part of the contract of life. Whether it's heartbreak, betrayal, loss, rejection, failure, no one escapes it. But what separates the stagnant from the strong isn't whether pain occurred, it's what happens after. That's the defining question. Now what? Because suffering doesn't destroy you. Avoidance does. Blame does. Bitterness does. It's not the wound that breaks you, it's the refusal to grow from it. The Stoics knew this intimately. They didn't pretend life was fair or painless. In fact, they accepted its brutality with open eyes and a steady heart. But they also believed that within every pain lies a choice, to turn it into a wall or into wisdom. When Marcus Aurelius lost his children, he didn't curse the gods. He wrote to himself, "To accept it without complaint is the mark of a man." It wasn't apathy. It was power, a quiet, unwavering refusal to let pain make him smaller. But how many of us do the opposite? We let pain become identity. We wear it like armor, not to protect ourselves, but to keep the world out. We think, "I've been hurt, so I'll keep people at a distance. I failed once, so I won't try again. I was abandoned, so I'll abandon first." And it feels like self-preservation, but really, it's self-abandonment. We're not protecting ourselves, we're preemptively retreating from life. Pain demands reflection, not retreat. The Stoic doesn't ask, "Why me?" He asks, "What now?" He doesn't waste time on resentment, because resentment changes nothing. Instead, he looks at the wound and asks, "What is this here to teach me?" That question turns suffering into transformation, and the answer is almost always the same. You are stronger than you think, but you won't realize it until you're forced to. And yes, the path after pain is rarely clean. It's filled with confusion, self-doubt, and anger. But that's where the growth lives, not in denial, but in endurance, in showing up for your own healing, even when it's inconvenient. In refusing to let your story end with a scar, because a scar is just evidence that you lived through it, not that it defeated you. There is immense dignity in choosing to rise when no one is watching, when no one applauds, when no one even knows how much it costs you. That quiet resilience, that invisible progress, is the mark of a Stoic soul. One who walks through fire, not because it's pleasant, but because it's necessary. And let's be honest, sometimes we want to be saved from our pain. We want someone to fix it, undo it, make sense. But the truth is, no one can walk the path for you. No one can make peace with your pain but you. And that's terrifying until it becomes liberating. Because once you stop waiting to be rescued, you start reclaiming your strength. You realize that healing isn't something that happens to you. It's something you do. So the next time you feel pain rise up, don't run, don't bury it in distraction, don't numb it with entertainment or routine or avoidance. Sit with it, let it burn off the illusions, let it teach you what comfort could never show you. And then ask yourself, calmly, firmly, bravely, now what? Because that's where transformation begins, not in the pain itself, but in the decision that follows it. Pain happened. Now what? Responsibility sets you free. There's a paradox at the heart of freedom that most people never discover. They think freedom is about doing whatever they want, breaking rules, escaping obligations, removing limits. But that kind of freedom quickly collapses into chaos. Without structure, there's no direction. Without accountability, there's no integrity. And without integrity, there is no peace. True freedom, the kind that builds inner calm, emotional stability, and self-respect, doesn't come from escape. It comes from ownership, from the willingness to take responsibility, even when you could get away with blaming someone else. And this is where the Stoic path becomes uncomfortable, because it asks more of you than modern life does. It doesn't care about your excuses, your past, or your distractions. It doesn't care about what's fair or unfair. It simply asks, what are you doing about it? Not what your parents did, not what society failed to teach you, not what life threw at you, but what you are doing right now with what you've been given. Responsibility is not a punishment. It's not a burden. It's a portal. It's the door you walk through when you're tired of waiting for things to change. It's the moment you stop saying, I wish someone would help me, and start saying, I'll help myself. And in that moment, no matter how heavy your past has been, you feel lighter. Because you've just stepped out of the passenger seat of your life and into the driver's seat. You've moved from victim to author. Most people avoid responsibility because they confuse it with guilt. They think owning a problem means accepting blame. But the Stoic doesn't view it that way. He sees responsibility as the power to respond. The ability to influence his inner world, even when he can't control the outer one. Epictetus said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." That's not just a motivational quote, it's a blueprint for liberation. Because when you stop outsourcing responsibility to your circumstances, your emotions, other people, you stop outsourcing your power. You stop waiting for the right mood, the perfect conditions, the ideal support system. You start building. You start adapting. You start becoming the kind of person who doesn't need ideal conditions to do what matters. And that changes everything. It changes how you handle conflict, because instead of reacting, you reflect. It changes how you pursue goals. Because instead of waiting for motivation, you rely on discipline. It changes how you see yourself. Not as someone who is pushed around by life, but as someone who shapes it from the inside out. But let's be honest. Taking responsibility hurts at first. It forces you to confront your own patterns, the ways you self-sabotage, procrastinate, blame, overreact. And there's a voice in your head that will fight back. It will say, it's not all my fault. I didn't choose this. I'm doing my best. And maybe that's true, but responsibility isn't about fault. It's about choice. It's about deciding that no matter how unfair life has been, you refuse to give it the power to dictate who you become. So start small. Take responsibility for how you spend your mornings, for the thoughts you feed, for the way you speak to yourself when no one's listening. Take responsibility for one habit, one boundary, one reaction, and build from there. Because each act of ownership strengthens a part of you that the world cannot shake. Responsibility is freedom in disguise. It's the quiet superpower that allows you to say, whatever happens, I will respond with strength. I will respond with clarity. I will not abandon myself. You want peace? Choose responsibility. You want respect, especially self-respect. Take ownership. You want to feel free again. Then stop blaming and start building. That's how the Stoic walks forward. Not with complaints, but with commitment. Not with noise, but with quiet strength. Replace blame with purpose. There's a seductive comfort in blaming. It gives us a villain, a reason, a target for our pain. It lets us point outward and say, This is why I'm stuck. This is why I'm not where I want to be. And in the short term, it feels good. It relieves us of the burden of responsibility. But there's a price, because every time we blame, we trade power for pity. We reinforce the story that our life is in someone else's hands. And the longer we live in that story, the harder it becomes to step out of it, even when the door has been open the whole time. Blame is a mental habit, one that often starts small. You blame the traffic for your bad mood, the boss for your lack of confidence, the childhood you didn't choose, the partner who didn't understand you. And all of these may be real. They may even be unjust. But the Stoic doesn't ask whether it's fair. He asks whether it's useful. Does this blame move me forward, or does it keep me chained to what I can't control? Purpose is the opposite of blame. Where blame looks outward, purpose looks inward. Where blame waits for change, purpose becomes the change. The moment you replace blame with purpose, everything shifts. You stop narrating your wounds and start building from them. You stop asking who hurt you and start asking who you want to become in spite of it. And no, this doesn't mean denying the past. It means refusing to let it dominate the future. A Stoic doesn't pretend nothing bad happened. He just refuses to let it be the final word. He uses it, recycles it, turns it into fuel for something greater. That's what purpose does. It transforms pain into motion. But you can't do that while clinging to blame. Because blame is a story that never ends. It demands constant proof, constant reliving, constant outrage. And purpose, real purpose, demands the opposite. It demands stillness, reflection, direction. It doesn't need enemies. It only needs clarity. Ask yourself, what would happen if I dropped the blame I've been carrying? If I stopped blaming my parents, my ex, my past, my environment? If I stopped blaming myself, what would I have to confront? What would I have to change? Blame protects us from those questions, but it also keeps us from the answers. And those answers, however uncomfortable, are where transformation begins. The Stoics believe deeply in this kind of alchemy, not of metal into gold, but of resentment into wisdom. Marcus Aurelius didn't write about how others wronged him. He wrote about how he must respond with patience, with courage, with perspective. Epictetus, who was enslaved for part of his life, never blamed his captors for his mindset. Instead, he wrote, "It's not the events themselves, but our judgment of them that causes suffering." That's not philosophy for ivory towers. That's philosophy for survival. So look at where blame lives in your life. What story do you keep repeating that explains your stagnation? What name do you keep bringing up when you feel discouraged? What system or person or past event have you given so much power to that you've forgotten you still have choices? Then let it go. Not out of naivety, not out of weakness, but out of discipline. The discipline to reclaim your mind, to reroute your focus from who's at fault to what's my mission, from what they did to what I must do now. Purpose won't erase your scars, but it will make them sacred. It will make them part of a story that ends with strength, not bitterness. And that's the choice before you. Keep blaming or start becoming. You can't do both. The Stoic transcends circumstances. You don't get to choose the weather, but you do get to choose how you walk through the storm. That's the quiet essence of Stoicism. The belief, no, the commitment, that while you may not control all that happens to you, you do control what you become because of it. And in a world that constantly shifts, breaks, and surprises, that's not just philosophy, that's survival. Most people live at the mercy of circumstances. They wake up happy if the morning is smooth, and resentful if it's not. They feel confident when praised, insecure when criticized. Their emotional state is dictated by headlines, notifications, gossip, and mood swings, not by intention, and because of that, their peace is always rented, never owned. It belongs to the next outcome, the next person, the next unpredictable event. But the Stoic walks a different path, one carved inward. To transcend your circumstances is not to deny them. It's not about pretending things don't hurt or that injustice doesn't sting. It's about placing your power somewhere deeper than the surface of events. It's about developing an identity that is rooted in principles, not in preferences. Take Epictetus, for example, born into slavery, later crippled, and still one of the most respected minds in Stoic history. He didn't let his misfortune define his thinking. He once said, "You may fetter my leg, but not even Zeus has the power to break my will." That's not just resilience, that's transcendence, a refusal to let external limits cage the internal self. But here's where the challenge lies. Transcending your circumstances isn't dramatic. It's not loud. It's not something others applaud you for. It happens quietly, in the moments when you could complain, but choose not to. When you could lash out, but pause instead. When you could retreat, but decide to stand firm, with grace and discipline. It happens when you lose the job, but not your self-respect. When the relationship ends, but your dignity doesn't. When the failure arrives, but you refuse to call yourself a failure. These are the invisible victories that separate those who merely survive life from those who are forged by it. Transcendence doesn't mean escaping difficulty. It means evolving through it, using every hardship as raw material for inner clarity. And this isn't easy. In fact, it's some of the hardest work you'll ever do, because it requires you to break the habit of reacting. It demands that you pause, reflect, respond from a higher place than impulse. It means asking better questions when things go wrong. Not, "Why is this happening to me?" but, "Who does this allow me to become?" Not, "How do I fix this as fast as possible?" but, "What would a stronger, calmer version of me do right now?" And this isn't about perfection. Stoicism doesn't ask you to be robotic. It asks you to be anchored, to be rooted in something stronger than your circumstances, because those will always change. But character, that's a choice, every single time. So when life throws you into chaos, and it will, you don't need to match its energy. You don't need to be reactive just because the world is loud. You can choose to be the stillness within the storm, the clarity inside the confusion, the calm in the center of the fire. That's what it means to transcend, not to rise above life, but to rise through it, to walk forward, not unscarred, but unshaken. Lead yourself beyond limitation. Most people wait for permission. Permission to rise, to speak, to act, to dream. They look around for someone to say, "Now you're ready." But that someone rarely arrives, and even when they do, their words are hollow if you don't already believe them. That's the trap of limitation. It rarely comes from outside. It's internal, quiet, self-imposed. The bars are in your mind, not in the world. And unless you learn to lead yourself beyond those imagined limits, you will live a life dictated by doubt, not direction. The Stoic path demands a kind of internal leadership, not leadership over others, but over your impulses, your fears, your excuses. It's the ability to rise each day and say, "Regardless of what the world offers me today, I will offer discipline, clarity, and purpose." You stop needing motivation because you've built momentum. You stop seeking validation because you've grown into your own standard. You don't wait for the path to open. You walk forward until one appears. The Stoic doesn't deny that obstacles exist. He simply refuses to let them dictate who he becomes. Limitations, in his eyes, are not stop signs. They're invitations, not to surrender, but to evolve. Marcus Aurelius put it simply. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. That's not just beautiful philosophy. It's a mindset, a strategy, a daily practice. And let's be clear, leading yourself isn't about force. It's not about grinding until you collapse. It's about listening deeply to your values and acting from them, consistently, even when no one's watching. Especially when no one's watching. Because self-leadership means your integrity doesn't fluctuate with the mood of the day. It means your mission remains clear, even in confusion. It means your discipline doesn't depend on how easy or hard things feel. But how do we begin to lead ourselves? Start with the small moments. When you wake up and don't feel like moving, do you obey that feeling? Or do you override it with purpose? When you're tempted to waste time, indulge gossip, or chase quick gratification, do you surrender? Or do you remind yourself of who you're trying to become? Every one of those moments is a vote, a quiet declaration of who's in charge, your higher self or your lower urges. And the more often you cast that vote with intention, the stronger your self-leadership becomes. You're not waiting for circumstances to give you the green light. You become the green light. And yes, this takes courage. It's easier to be led than to lead. It's easier to say, I can't, than to say, I haven't yet, but I will. But if you want peace, real peace, you must take the harder road. The road of personal sovereignty. The road where you stop asking the world for permission and start giving it to yourself. Self-leadership is not glamorous. It's quiet. It's built in early mornings, hard decisions, uncomfortable truths, and unwavering standards. It's the discipline to do the right thing, even when no one claps for you, even when no one sees. Because in the end, no one can carry you across the bridge to who you want to become. That journey belongs to you alone. And the moment you realize that, the moment you accept it fully, is the moment you stop waiting and start leading. You were never meant to follow your limitations. You were meant to transcend them. Your mindset writes your future. If you want to know what your future looks like, don't look at your circumstances. Look at your mindset. Not the thoughts you post online or the ones you speak out loud to impress others. Look at the ones you repeat to yourself when no one is watching. The quiet beliefs, the hidden assumptions, the inner narratives you've accepted as truth. Because those thoughts, however small, are seeds. And every day, whether you realize it or not, you're watering them, cultivating them, living by them, and eventually they become your reality. This is the final truth the Stoic reminds us of. You are not shaped by what happens to you, but by how you interpret what happens. That distinction, though subtle, is everything. Because while life may hand you the unpredictable, your interpretation is always within reach. And the quality of that interpretation will define the direction of your life. You can interpret failure as evidence you're not good enough, or as feedback to become stronger. You can interpret criticism as rejection or as refinement. You can interpret delay as denial or as preparation. The event is the same, but the mindset, that changes everything. And the Stoic mindset is built on one principle above all. You are responsible for your inner world. You may not choose the storm, but you choose how you stand in it. You may not escape the loss, the betrayal, the hardship. But you decide what it will mean to you. You decide whether it hardens your heart or sharpens your soul. But here's the problem. Most people don't know they have this power. They live as passive observers of their own mind, letting every passing thought become a command. They believe every fear is a warning, every doubt is a prophecy, every feeling is a fact. And so they drift, reacting, worrying, shrinking, not because life is impossible, but because their mindset makes it so. The Stoic refuses this path. He becomes the architect of his perception. He questions his automatic responses. He rewrites his stories. He takes the space between stimulus and response and expands it until clarity emerges. Until reason returns. Until wisdom leads. And that's the key. Your mindset isn't fixed. It's not something you were born with. It's something you train daily, through reflection, through discipline, through a refusal to be ruled by emotion alone. You begin to notice the patterns that sabotage you, the lies that limit you, the voices that whisper, "You can't," when what they really mean is, "You're afraid." Over time, as your mindset strengthens, so does your identity. You start to identify less with your past and more with your potential. You stop measuring success by what others think and start measuring it by how aligned you feel. You realize that confidence isn't about being certain. It's about being grounded, rooted in the knowledge that no matter what comes, you will respond with clarity, strength, and presence. And perhaps most importantly, you stop seeing life as something happening to you and start seeing it as something happening through you. Every challenge becomes a lesson, every delay a teacher, every moment an invitation to live deeper, not just louder. Your future is not written in fate. It is written in focus, in the thoughts you allow, the beliefs you reinforce, the mindset you cultivate when no one is around. So choose wisely, because while you cannot control all the pages that life will hand you, you can absolutely decide how you show up to write them. You are the author. The pen is in your hand. What story will you choose to live next? There comes a moment in every person's life where the echo of blame grows quiet and something deeper begins to rise. A quiet realization that no one is coming to save you, but no one needs to. Because everything you were looking for in others, everything you thought was missing, was always yours to build. From the inside out, from thought to habit, from belief to action. This episode wasn't about becoming someone new. It was about remembering who you are beneath the noise. You are not your past, not your wounds, not the doubts that visit you in the dark. You are what you choose to rise for, what you choose to lead. And the Stoic path? It's not loud, it's not flashy, but it is unshakable. And it begins the moment you decide to stop surrendering your power to circumstances and start reclaiming it, thought by thought, moment by moment. So walk forward now with a quieter mind and a stronger spine. Let the world do what it does. Let opinions swirl. Let life unfold. And you? You remain anchored, a calm force in a chaotic world. Not because life is easy, but because you've chosen clarity over noise, responsibility over blame, and inner strength over outer excuses. If this episode spoke to something deep in you, share it. Leave a review. Pass it on to someone who needs the reminder. And above all, come back to this stillness whenever life gets loud. Because the more you practice this mindset, the more unshakable you become.